and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined again by Matt Anderson.
Hi, everyone.
And we're still talking about Fool Schematic, Matt's new game. Perhaps he'll tell us why it's called Fool Schematic, if we're lucky. And today we're going to talk about the fluff behind the game, I suppose, and the factions that make it up and things. So, Matt, you told us in the previous episode that it's set on an unknown world where the inhabitants of that world have sort of abandoned their physical existence and now live purely as electronic forms.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that actually mean in terms of fluff? Who can you play?
The game itself takes place in and around what's called a network, called an Autumn Network, which is, actually one small section of this world. It's kind of like one city on a giant planet. Autumn Network, on this planet, you have several networks which are effectively like giant computational structures that digital people live and exist in after abandoning their organic bodies. And Autumn Network is one such city. It's been isolated from the rest of the world by this glitch incursion. So they don't know if the rest of the world is under assault or not. They've lost communication with the rest of the networks. They're kind of in a cabin in the woods scenario where they're being assaulted from within and without. Prior to the existence of the glitch, people can move around in physical space by downloading themselves into these kind of android robot bodies called frames that allow them to traverse like physical space and move in between networks and the rest. Since the glitches showed up about 50 years ago, all the frames have been retrofitted for war, and that kind of comprises the physical card game, because the glitch is bringing gigantic war machines from eras long forgotten out of the ground and just animating them via ghostly forces and sending them to kind of tear down the network in a physical sense. So inside the network, you've got this incredibly imaginative digital space in which players play, with lots of, interesting kind of varied locations that are carved out of the inhabitants' imaginations. And in this digital space, the glitch is also kind of corrupting various areas, tearing the network down. People are, disappearing mysteriously. Kind of all the makings of a great kind of terrifying mystery story from the app side. So that being the setting, there are kind of four factions that exist in this universe for the players to engage with. One of Autumn Network's most kind of notable qualities among all the networks is its like total fascination with pre-digital life. So all of these factions that you can get involved with have kind of modeled themselves off of some aspect of how they relate to what humans were like before they were digital, or what they're like after they're digital, or how they kind of feel about that divide of humans abandoning their bodies. Like, it's a cultural touchstone for them.
This is great.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So these four factions, there's several factions in the network. These four are by far the most powerful, and they kind of butt heads occasionally, but they're all in an uneasy truce because the glitch is such a titanic threat. And these factions are coalesced around certain sets of ideals or aesthetics that people on the network feel they identify with. So it's kind of a big melting pot. People can choose who they want to align with and the rest. So these four factions, the first of the four factions and the oldest, is called the Celestial Shogunate.
Okay.
The Celestial Shogunate have kind of a very feudal Japanese style theme. They're very kind of honor and dignity bound. They are very focused on hierarchy and basically kind of keeping things in line. In a way, they're kind of like the network's enforcers. They are unique in that they are the only people that have ever successfully relaunched satellites in the physical world. So they're the only people in the network that have seen the entirety of the planet and understand the full like breadth of the glitch incursion. They, for their part, they just believe the glitch will inevitably take over and swallow the entire planet. So a big part of what makes these factions unique is how is kind of their ideologies around how they want to deal with the glitch threat. The Celestial Shogunate is researching technology to effectively launch the network into space and make like a mass exodus for humanity because they believe there's just absolutely no other way to save humanity from kind of like a looming and inevitable end. But the Celestial Shogunate is also kind of fascinating because they're totally enamored with history. Like they'll send frames out into the wreckage and strive to kind of uncover everything about what it was like to be a pre-digital human. And they kind of model themselves around that culture.
Okay, and frames were their robot bodies, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So frames are what digital people can kind of log into and use as like a pseudo body to navigate the physical world.
Okay.
So the next faction is called the Monarchy of Boom. And the Monarchy of Boom is very, very like urban style, super hip. They're all about expression. They have no hierarchy whatsoever, and they often butt heads with the Shogunate because of it. It's just basically a ton of people who are very passionate about using the digital space they're in to express themselves to their fullest and also expressing kind of their freedom and individuality. They're all ferocious, very kind of headstrong, very heartstrong people, and they likewise kind of believe the glitch can just be smashed out of existence. Like they're both their biggest asset and their biggest weakness is kind of their arrogance. So they just kind of form like flash mobs and just go on glitch wrecking parties. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't, but they simply believe it can be overcome by force of will. And that's their ability to kind of crush the glitch is something that many of the other factions envy.
Okay. So question about the glitch before you move on.
Yeah.
So is the glitch a physical thing or is it a digital thing or is it both?
Actually, the glitch is an interesting entity because it exists in both spaces and nobody understands exactly what it is or quite why it exists. In physical space, the entire world is kind of this gigantic boneyard of technology, is maybe a good way to put it. And for reasons that, you know, are kind of, you know, once again, keeping the interview spoiler free, is just animating old technology that nobody even really understands anymore and sending it in waves against the network. So you can kind of imagine like these gigantic, kind of ancient war machines just rising out of the wreckage like skeletons and, you know, being animated by ghostly forces and kind of, you know, wandering across the land towards the networks looking to tear them down. So that's kind of the nature of the physical conflict, but the glitch has also kind of embedded itself into digital space. And in the digital app, this looks like you know, areas becoming desaturated, breaking apart, people just suddenly going missing. It's kind of tough to explain how the glitch works in the digital space because they assault the livelihoods of the digital people in like a kind of a myriad of strange and odd ways. I'll give you a little bit of spoiler about one story. We have one story where several citizens of digital space suddenly start forming memories that they don't recognize. And that ends up being a glitch plot that ends up threatening a large part of the population. So,
all right.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of on a glitch. Was that a good enough explanation?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just we keep talking about the glitch, and I don't think we've actually explained what the glitch was.
Exactly.
So you were talking factions.
Factions. So that was the Monarchy of Boom. The third faction is called the Hanamori, and they're got a very kind of druidic and shamanistic presence. They're a young faction, and they're kind of built around the idea that humans made this kind of incomprehensible mistake when they abandoned their bodies, and the glitch is kind of like this mystical punishment for having kind of defiled the nature of life itself. So the Hanamori, they believe the only way to overcome the glitch is to somehow like return humanity to its organic state and regrow like a lush, beautiful planet, because the, you know, organic life is the only thing the glitch cannot affect. So they are interesting because they're like in the physical realm, they're engaged in developing nanomachines that can affect, rebuild, and change organic life. So when you see them in a card game, they're going to be using like plants manipulated by nanomachines to, you know, trap and ensnare the glitch. Or, you know, another large theme for them is they like form their frames after animals. Each member of the Hanamori has like kind of an animal spirit guide, which is one animal that they are dedicated to bringing back to the world. It's kind of like their holy charge. So they're a very cool, unique faction as well. The final faction is called Subnet 88, and they are far less populous than the other factions, but they're potentially far more dangerous. They're kind of like a band of loosely knit digital elitists and hackers. And they just have completely abandoned any desire to revisit physical space. They think that kind of abstraction is the one true perfection. So they have an unmatched expertise of network code. Like they can break digital space in other ways that other factions just kind of believe isn't even possible. And they're very interested. Unlike the other factions, they believe the glitch is code just like any other code. They actually want to capture it, dissect it, and kind of bend its power to their own will. So in a way, Subnet 88 is kind of a double-edged sword. You know, they're extremely powerful people with questionable motives that the other factions rely on because they have to. So if you choose to join up with Subnet 88, you can expect to be a bit of a villain, actually, or at least, you know, an anti-hero, to be sure. And in the card game, Subnet 88, their frames are all live, kind of disassemblable, almost skeletal bladed machines that are focused on injecting hostile code into the glitch to kind of take it over or disable it. So they've got some very cool theming as well. And depending on which of the factions the players join, they can join a separate one in the digital game and play a different one in the card game, and they mesh well in the ways that we'll talk about in terms of mechanics in the next episode. Because all of the factions, because they're allied, share certain access to certain resources. So, for instance, if you are a subnet character, you will have access to piloting like a shogunate frame in the card game, which we'll discuss how that works mechanically in the future.
Okay. So the factions are united against the glitch, even though they have different ideals. They all realize that the glitch represents the major threat.
That's absolutely right. In the past, they have certainly come to blows, but they are currently in an uneasy truce to confront the greater threat.
Okay, so it sounds like you've put a massive amount of thought into the, you know, the background and the fluff and stuff. How are you going to translate that to people through, you know, given the fact that what we're talking about is a card game and a digital game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any illusion that the vast majority of the narrative is going to come through the digital RPG being a role-playing game. So the card game itself has very, very strong, powerful theming, but because of the nature of the mechanics and what it is, it's kind of trapped in a segment of time. You know, in other words, it's going to represent a skirmish on the planet with a what's called a glitch personality, which is like one powerful manifestation of the glitch.
Right.
However, and there are plans to have the digital game direct you to play a specific skirmish against the glitch in the card game and have those results reflected back in the digital game.
Right.
So in a way, the card game can be enjoyed by itself. If it's used with the card game, it's going to fit into a bigger narrative.
Cool. Yeah. And just as a side question, you could say, oh, I have no thought. Sounds like Frames would make a really good sort of Robotech-like miniature game.
that is entirely true. That is absolutely true. I deny nothing. If this IP works out, nothing is off the table whatsoever. So
I mean, it does sound like you could have some really good fun with that sort of thing, and some really interesting looking
absolutely.
Models.
Well, and it's so true too. I mean, I think, you know, of course there are an enormous amount of sci-fi miniatures games out there, but I don't think there's one with the particular style and theming that we could get across. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's obviously nowhere on our radar, but here's to hoping.
Yeah. So we're out of time again.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow we will talk about how you actually play the game and how the digital RPG combines with the cards and how many friends you're going to need to play it with.
Absolutely.
So until tomorrow, I've been Mike.
I've been Matt.
See you then. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.